out, and it'll all be good. But we've got some live, we've got some online, and it's all good. So our topic for this week and the next couple of weeks, God willing, is Avodas Karka. We spent Elul's Man talking about overview topics, Shemitah in our day, rabbinic or biblical, boundaries of Israel, overview of Shemitah, and that was all fun. But now we have to talk about, you know, or not talk about, but learn Shemitah itself. Everything else has sort of been about Shemitah, but what is Shemitah? What are the laws of Shemitah? How is Shemitah observed? What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? And so forth. So we figured, Rav Sammy and I, when we broke down the topics, that starting out by talking about working the land, made sense. So that's our initial move into Shemitah proper. I'm going to mute people by default. As always, please do interrupt with questions, comments, whatever. I hope, again, that everybody has a source sheet. If anybody doesn't have the source sheet, this is a good time to say so. Nope. We're good? Okay. So yes, Avodas Karka, working the land during Shemitah. I will note, actually, before you launch into the shiur, that three dedications are applied to this shiur from our Day of Giving that we held in July. Yehuda Levy, Ilan and Dr. Gila Metz, and Roy Muster, thank you very much for dedicating this shiur. So, here's where I want to go with this Avodas Karka, this topic of working the land during Shemitah. The Gemara presents a breakdown of the malachos, what it is that one is not allowed to do biblically during Shemitah, reminiscent of the Avos Toldos structure found in Masechah Shabbos, but these are different. And so one of the questions I want to address is, what exactly is this structure of Avos and Toldos, having central categories of forbidden work and lesser categories or descendant categories, when really you only have two Avos and you only have two Toldos? So what exactly were they trying to accomplish in doing this, and why is that list different from the one in the laws of Shabbos? Then I want to start on the specific malachos that are in that list of biblically prohibited acts. Rav Sammy is going to be doing tree care. I'm doing land, and he's doing trees. So I'm only doing some of these four malachos. The four malachos are Zoreah, Zomer, Kotzer, and Botzer, or Zoreah meaning, everything all right? The Zoreah is planting seeds. Kotzer is harvesting. Botzer is harvesting from grapevines. And Zomer is pruning, but specifically pruning with an eye towards improving growth. Those are our four malachas. So I'm going to talk about what Zoreah actually is, planting seeds. I'm going to leave Zomer, pruning, for Rav Sammy. And I'll also talk about what Kotzer is, what harvesting is, and which kind of harvesting is prohibited under, quote, working the land, because it's not so simple and straightforward. And then we're probably going to spend a good chunk of time on the issue of plowing, because plowing isn't on any of the items on the list. It isn't Avos, it isn't Toldos, but it is prohibited in Shemitah. So we're going to have to talk about that as well. Those are our topics for our initial series on Avodas Karka. So in order to talk about working the land during Shemitah, we need to know what working the land looks like in general. We sort of need a farming 101 here. So what I tried to provide for you is a set of four land-related steps. And what I mean by land-related is that farming is not only about things you do in connection to the land. So one example of that is you have to do seed selection. Right? Seed selection is fine during Shemitah. You're allowed to go through your seeds, decide which ones are good, which ones are not good. That has nothing to do with the laws of Shemitah. Parenthetically, I gave you a link in Bayes to two articles from Ellen Churchill Semple, who was a woman who did a lot of work on botany as well as historical botany and more about 100 to 150 years ago. So these articles are on ancient Mediterranean agriculture. I am not certifying and accepting everything that she had to say. First of all, because I am neither a historian nor a farmer, and not really qualified to weigh in on everything that she said. Some of the Jewish stuff is very interesting. She's an extremely creative person. I don't know if she created all this stuff herself or if she had some of it from elsewhere, but for example, she suggests that the rationale for the laws of kilayim, of not planting mixed species together, is in order to make sure that you will filter your seeds for the sake of ancient crop rotation, to make sure that you're only going to plant one crop each year, and to make sure that you will sort your seeds and get rid of the seeds that are bad. So since you're going to go through them anyway, therefore you will end up separating them. She has all sorts of very interesting ideas. But in any case, I used her work as part of developing this list of land-related steps that are involved. So the first stage that matters for Shemitah is preparing the soil. So preparing the soil includes burning off old growth and weeds, something we find referenced in the Gemara, removing the stones from the soil, fertilizing the ground before seeding. They would use compost, they used minerals, plowing the soil to bring up nutrients as well as to bury debris and to enable rooting in the soil. You need to make sure that the soil is going to be lighter and looser to allow aeration and to allow roots to take hold. That's all soil preparation that has to happen. There are two different acts of plowing. This is interesting for those who never knew that. There's plowing and there is harrowing. The plowing is when you break up the large pieces of soil, and then harrowing is breaking up smaller clods of earth in order to improve aeration, oxygen access, and to eliminate weeds. Worth knowing. Okay, that's soil preparation, and that's your first stage, obviously. Then you have planting. So planting may involve sprouting the seeds in seed beds or in special pots before you actually plant the seeds in the ground where they're gonna remain. Then you have cultivation as the plants start to grow. So that includes irrigation, that includes hoeing to remove weeds. It may involve additional application of fertilizer. That can come up as well. And then finally, God willing, you get to harvesting at the end, cutting the produce, and all the activities that come afterwards. So that's your basic sort of chronological flow of the farming that you're going to do. There are many, many acts that we did not describe as part of this. I didn't discuss any of the tree issues. Trees have their own avoda that they need. But that's just some sense of the farmer's calendar, if you will, of activities, many of which are going to be directly relevant for our conversation. Are we clear so far? Okay. We're now all farmers. We need to go out and get overalls and so forth. So when we look at the Melachos of Shabbos, we find two basic categories of avodas karka, of working the land. If you take a look on your sheet at Source Gimel, from the Yerushalmi in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Zayin, of course Perek Zayin is where we get our list of avos and toldos, the central categories of prohibited work as well as the descendant categories. So here we are told, Charisha Av. There is an Av Malacha on Shabbos called Choresh. Choresh meaning plowing, as we've discussed it. And Tani Rav Chia taught Chafar Charatz Naatz Toldos LaHacharisha. He says Charisha has all sorts of subcategories. Whether that means digging a hole in various ways that you would dig holes, those are included under Choresh. L'chol Davar Shuhan L'Hanayas Karka Chayiv Mishum Choresh. Anything that's involved in improving the soil, that counts as Choresh. That counts as plowing. And then we go on to list a whole bunch of subcategories. So he has chofer, choreitz, noetz. He has medayer. Medayer is actually setting up your animals to fertilize the field by having them graze and excrete in the field. Meader, spreading manure. You'll see why that's bolded. I'm going to come back to that. Mechabed, merapetz, mapeagushim, sweeping, harrowing. He talks about matzis es ha'ur b'chishas hakanim, where you're burning off the old growth. All of these different stages he considers to be under plowing as far as Shabbos is concerned. And then he says, kol dvar sheyem mavchilas haperos chayiv mishum zoreya. Anything that's going to help the fruit to ripen, that's called zoreya. that's going to be called that's going to be called planting seeds. So that he has hanotea, where you plant an existing plant like a tree. Grafting is in there. Cutting back some of the branches is in there. Applying dirt to the tree if there are cracks in the tree. Smoking out the worms. Watering he considers to be under Zoreya. Basically, the split according to the Yerushalmi, as far as Shabbos is concerned, and the Rambam follows this as well, the split as far as Shabbos is concerned is Choresh, is anything you're doing to improve the land. Zoreya is anything that you are doing to take care of the plant itself. That's the idea. In other words, it's not about chronological stages of working the land, like this is earlier on and this is later on. It's about, am I taking care of the land? That's Choresh. Am I taking care of the plant? That's Zoreya. So I wanted to highlight the issue of fertilizing, which is fascinating in the discussion. The Yerushalmi here puts fertilizing under Choresh because you're improving the land. And that's where almost everybody puts it. The Tiferes Yisrael in his Kalkelas HaShabbos puts it under Choresh. The Aruch HaShulchan, Reb Chaim Knievsky in the Derech Emunah, they all put it as Choresh. Then you get this Adni Muke Yosef in Source Dalet, where I highlighted for you in bold, where he says, V'hamizabel mitolda Zoreya o Choreshu. He says, it's either Zoreya or Choresh. I don't know why he's confused. Everybody else said it was Choresh. But I like that case specifically of Choresh because it really highlights for you working the land as opposed to taking care of the plant. That distinction. Saying that fertilizing, if you had asked me before I learned this, I would have said fertilizing is part of Zoreya. You're helping the plant to grow. But it's not. It's adding nutrients to the soil. Therefore, it's about improving the soil. Therefore, it's about Choresh. Again, unless you're the Nimuke Yosef. So I thought that was interesting. Watering, on the other hand, seems to be categorized as Zoreya. You're taking care of the plant itself. When we get to Shemitah discussions about plowing, we'll see that it may actually be considered plowing in Shemitah with practical ramifications. But that's the Yerushalmi. The Gemara Moed Katan Beis Amud Beis is a little bit less clear about this Choresh Zoreya split, where you have the Machlokas of Rabba and Rabbi Yosef about whether weeding and watering, are they Choresh, are they both Zoreya? That's something that we may come back to when we deal with Choresh, when we deal more with plowing. But basically what you want to come out of from this initial stage is that when you're dealing with Shabbos, your split is you have an Av that is Choresh, with all the subcategories, the toldos being those things that are involved in taking care of the land. And then you have an Av that is Zoreya, and that's in terms of taking care of the plant. When you get to Shemitah, everything is suddenly different. We have, as I said before, four principal acts that are biblically prohibited and have Malkos attached to them, and separately you have the issue of Choresh. So this all starts with the psukim in Parshas Behar, which I brought you in source Hey. Sheishanim tizra sadecha, v'sheishanim tizmor karmecha. 6 years you will plant seeds in your field, 6 years you will prune your grapevine, v'asavta es tivuasa, and you will harvest the grain. So you've got Zoreya and you have Zomer. U'bashana ha-shvi'ish shabbas shabbason yela aret shabbas l'ashem, Sadcha lo sizra, v'chamacha lo sizmor. However, in Shemitah, no seeding, no pruning. I actually didn't bring the next pasuk, which is kind of odd. But the rest of it is, espiach ketzircha lo siktzor. Don't be kotzer. That's something that should really be here on the sheet. So that's where you get kotzer as a malacha. And ves inevein nizirecha lo sivtzor. Don't take the grapes off of your grapevine. And that's how you get your set of four. You have Zoreya, Zomer, Kotzer, Botzer. Seeding, pruning, harvesting, and harvesting grapes. Okay? Those are your main malachos. Jumping to the Bavli, take a look at source Vav. And we get the idea that we get the application of this in specifically what Rava says in the Gemara in Bava in Moed Katan. Moed Katan has interest in this. Why? Why is Moed Katan the place where we're going to discuss working the land in Shemitah? Yeah, because we're told that you're not allowed to plant on the Moed, and we have a whole discussion about what that constitutes and what about if it's prevent loss and so forth, and that overlaps very nicely with Shemitah. So that's why when you want to know what are the types of work that I'm not allowed to do in Shemitah, we're actually going to look in the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan. So the Gemara in Source Vav begins by teaching you that you are allowed to irrigate on Chol HaMoed, as well as during Shemitah. And the Gemara says, I don't understand why you should be allowed to irrigate during Shemitah. I understand Chol HaMoed because there's loss if you don't irrigate, and therefore we want you to be able to do it. That's all well and good. But why in the world should you be allowed to irrigate during Shemitah? Irrigation should be either Zoreya or Choresh. And again, that's a discussion that we're going to have to come back to. So Abaye's answer, which you already saw in Rav Sami Shir, is because Shemitah is only rabbinic nowadays. And therefore, since Shemitah is only rabbinic, you're allowed to be lenient for the sake of maintaining your field. However, Rava gives me a different answer. Rava Omar, it's the second bullet point in Source Vav. Rava Amar Afilu Tema Rabbanan. He says no. Even according to the Rabbanan, not Rebbe. Rebbe is the one who says Shemitah is the Rabbanan. But even according to the Rabbanan and not Rebbe, Avos Asa Rachmana, Toldos Lo Asa Rachmana. The Torah only prohibited Avos and not Toldos. Dichsiv. As the Pasuk says, Uvashana Hashvi'is Shabbat Shabbasoni El Aretz Sadchalos Izra, it listed for me not to do Zeria. And he says, and it says, don't do zemira, right? What we just read. Don't plant seeds and don't prune. So, michdi zemira bichlal zeria. Ubitzira bichlal kitzira. So, Rava asks, he says, your four items are zoreya, zomer, kotzer, botzer, right? The same list we keep saying. I should have put it separately on the sheet. I should have. I didn't. Sorry. But he says, I don't understand why you needed to list Zomer. Zomer, pruning to improve growth, is a way that you handle the plant in order to make it grow better. Isn't that the same thing as Zoreya? Why did you need to list Zomer specifically? You have all sorts of different ways in which you can improve the plant. Why did you mention Zomer specifically? And he says, Botzer, harvesting grapes, is a subcategory of harvesting in general. Why did you need to mention that specifically? Lamai Hilchasa Kastvinu Rachmana. Why did the Torah record this? Lamemra de Ahani Toldos Mechayev Aachranaisa Lo Mechayev. To teach me, you're only liable for these Toldos, and you're not liable for other Toldos. So what Rava says in this conversation is that the Avos are Zoreya and Kotzer. You are liable for the toldos that are Zomer and Botzer, and nothing else. Mida Oraisa, that's all you got. So for example, based on this, if I wanted to go fertilize my field in Shemitah, Mida Oraisa, no problem whatsoever. To which the Gemara asks, I don't understand. I have this big long braisa that lists all sorts of activities that I'm not allowed to do during Shemitah. To which the answer is, yeah, those are rabbinic. That's rabbinic. Yeah, but they quote a pasuk in the Braisa. It's an asmachta. Don't worry about it. If you're bothered by it, ask Rav Sami. You don't need to wear your pretty little head about those things. Don't worry. Those are rabbinic. What they are is a good question. That's the way the Gemara in Moed Katan leaves it. If you take a look at the Yerushalmi, I brought the Yerushalmi from Kilayim in Source Zayin, we also get this Avos Toldos structure. Rabbi Lazer Omar, Rabbi Lazer says, Lokin alacharisha bishvias. He says there's malkos for plowing in Shemitah. We haven't touched plowing yet, other than to say we'll get to it. Plowing is not on our list of four. But that's what he says. There's malkos for plowing in Shemitah. Rabbi Yochanan says, nonsense. Ain lokin alacharisha bishvias. That's not true. Matam de Rabbi Lazer. Why does Rabbi Lazer say that there are malkos for plowing in Shemitah? Because the Torah says, Vishavsaha aret Shabbas Lashem Klal. The Torah says, you shall halt That means halt, don't do anything. That's my klal, that's my general principle. Then it gives me specifics. Sarchalos is rav, achamachalos is more. Don't plant seeds, don't prune, that's prat. That tells me these specific things are prohibited. So, hazera v'hazemer b'chlal hayu. Those were already part of the klal of v'shavsa, v'lama yatsu. Why did the Torah say specifically, don't do these things? They were already included in the klal. La kish alein v'lomar lach. To link to them and say, mazera v'zemer miyuchat shen avoda ba'aretzu be'ilan, af kol davar shu avoda ba'aretzu be'ilan. He says, the idea, according to Rabbi Elazar, is that these represent categories. Zeria, planting, is working with the plant. He's going to say these are working with the, Zeria is going to say working with the land. That's the only way you can understand this, because Zomer is clearly working with the plant. But he says, I'm going to extrapolate from here to say that anything that is like them is prohibited, and therefore I'm going to include plowing. I'm going to come back to that Yerushalmi, not today, but eventually, because there's a lot I don't understand going on there, including why Rabbi Elazar is the one saying Malkus for plowing, when in the Bavli, Rabbi Elazar is the one saying no Malkus for plowing. I'd like to understand that with some time in the next few weeks. But leaving that, you know, as an aside, leaving Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, you know, as an aside in that Yerushalmi, fundamentally, the way we paskin, and the Rambam brings it in Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, Perek Aleph, Halachos, Beis, through Dalet, we have this Avos, Toldos setup, in which it's Zoreya and Kotzer are the Avos, and Zomer and Botzer are the Toldos. So, now I want to come back to that question that I asked 20 minutes ago, which is, why do I need an Av and Toldos structure? What exactly is the lesson of an Av and Toldos structure? It's not Hilchos Shavos. Right, Hilchos Shabbos, I have 39 different avos, and a whole bunch of debates about what qualifies as a tolda and doesn't qualify as a tolda. This isn't the same as that. Incidentally, where else do we find avos and toldos in halacha? Sorry? Avos nezikin, good. Well, not so good, don't do it, but yes, avos nezikin. Where else? Sorry? Well, tuma, yes, but no, right? Because it's a different kind of av and tolda. In other words, in tuma, in order for it to be a tolda, it has to be a descendant of an av. In other words, it's the same chayfetz, it's the same item that just communicated to make something else a tolda. But yes, we invoke the terms av and tolda. I brought you the Gemara in Sanhedrin and source test. People often forget about this one. We have it when it comes to malachos of avodah zarah, that there are core malachos that are prohibited as avodah zarah. Those are avos, and then there are descendant forms as well that are toldos. So if a person breaks a stick in front of an avodah zarah, that's a tolda of shechita. There's also the avodah zarah idea. But the implementation, and this takes me back to my point about Shabbos, is very different in our discussion. I don't understand. And there are three particular differences that I'm going to highlight here. Rav Moshe Stav from KBY wrote an article called Avos Betoldos, in which he basically throws everything he has at the whole Avos Toldos thing, and trying to show that it's not consistent across its implementations. And then his answer is, yeah, it's not consistent. So I'm going to show you three inconsistencies, two of which come from him. The first inconsistency is one of those that he notes, is the question of, by default, should toldos be usur? Meaning, if the Torah had only told me, don't plant, and I'm accepting that pruning is a tolda of planting. Would pruning have been aser in Shemitah? What would you say? If the Torah just said, don't plant in Shemitah, and someone came to you and said, does that mean that midyaraisa, I'm allowed to prune my tree to improve the growth? What would you say? Reb Chaim says, no, you're not allowed to. Zev also gives it a thumbs down. He says, no, you're not allowed to.
I would say you could.
Rabbi Yair says you may.
Says don't plant. plant is plant.
Right. It's not planting, so therefore it shouldn't be included. I don't know. I mean, you could really make the argument both ways. Sorry, Rav Alex, what were you going to say? You're okay, so you're with Rabbi Yaris. You're on the yes planting side. So the funny thing is, and this is what Rav Stav points out in his article. I excerpted it in Source Yud and gave you the link there, but I'm going to say it outside, I think. When it comes to Shabbos, the default assumption is that toldos are mutter until the pasuk includes them as part of the malacha. When you're dealing with the laws of Shabbos, and he gives you a little bit, I think, of the quote there, but I don't think I brought it here on the sheet. But you have a limud. You have a special limud for Shabbos to include toldos. However, if you go back to the sugya that we saw in Moed Katan, as well as the sugya in Kilayim, the default assumption is that toldos are usur until I have a pasuk, sarchalos is rach, armachalos is more, that teaches me don't include them, except for these cases. Right? Think about how the Gemara went. Right? The Gemara said, I would have thought all toldos are included. But you told me zomer, which I didn't need you to tell me, because it's already under zoreya. Huh? Therefore, only zomer is usur. I knew botzer, because it's in kotzer. Why did you tell me lo siv tzor? To teach me only that is usur. And all the other subcategories you could invent are not usur midi oraisa. You follow? So Rav Stav says, when it came to Shabbos, your assumption was that toldos are mutter until the Torah tells you usur. When it comes to Shemitah, you assume that toldos are usur until the Torah tells you mutter. We've gone in opposite directions. You see the inconsistency. I trust. That's one objection. Second objection, this one not from Rav Stav, but the actual Av and Toldo relationship. In the laws of Shabbos, let's say you perform an Av and its Tolda in one span of forgetting that it's Shabbos. How many karbanos do you have to bring? One, correct. You only bring one. I think I brought it here. Yeah, take a look at Source Yud Aleph. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Zayin. I mean, really, it's the Mishnah in the beginning of the seventh Perek. But I like the Rambam's clear explanation of it, in which he says, Echad ha'osa av me'avos malachos, o toldam and atoldos me'zir chayav. You're liable if you perform an av or a tolda. And he says, Imkein ma'hefresh yesh bein ha'avos ve'atoldos. So what's the difference between av and tolda? And he says, and here's the key line, if you do an av and it's tolda in one span of forgetting it's Shabbos, you're chayav once. Av and tolda, one liability. Now let's go back to Shemitah. What if I do Zoreya and I do Zomer? How many times am I chayav? I'll give you the answer. Twice. Ah, Rav Sammy put up two fingers. Okay. The answer is twice. Separate liability. When it comes to Shabbos, the Av and the Tolda are a unit. When it comes to Shemitah, they're separate. It's almost like, why did you bother calling them Toldos? So that's a second problem. And then a third problem. And this is Rav Stav's point. The particular avos and toldos pairs vary between Shabbos and Shemitah. So in other words, Rav Stav points out, I brought it for you on the sheet, in Source Yud Beis, Matzino Belcho Shabbos, Shepasak HaRambam, Shezimira Havi Av Malacha V'lo Tolda. The Rambam lists Zomer as an Av Malacha for Shabbos. But it's very clear that Zomer is a tolda of Zoreya when it comes to Shemitah. Another example from Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Derech Emunah in Source Yud Gimel, he tells us that that kotzer, harvesting to improve the ground, and botzer to improve the ground, is an av tolda pair. In Shabbos, kotzer and botzer to improve the ground is actually a tolda of zoreya / noteya. You follow? Harvesting that's done to improve the ground is simply a tolda, whether you're talking about kotzer or botzer. says Kanievsky. So what do I do with these differences between Shabbos and Shemitah? So as I said, Rastav's conclusion is, yeah. Yes, Rav Sammy.
Can you suggest, I think the Ritva says this, that really when the Gemara uses the term toldos in regard to Shvius, it's not really toldos. That they're all in the Pasuk. And what the Gemara is really saying is that only toldos in Shabbos that are aser are actually avos in Shvius, and therefore, they're aser. But anything that's actually not included in those avos are simply not aser.
Is that Ritva Moikatan?
Normal sense of the word. I guess that's what I'm suggesting.
No, is that Ritva Moikatan?
Yeah.
Okay, I had not seen it, but that's what the Rikorkos suggests. Rav Stav doesn't mention this. Rav Stav just says each implementation of avos and toldos is different. You can't learn one from the other, so stop giving me a headache. That's basically his approach. There's a similar framing, but more dramatic, in the Rikorkos, and it sounds like what you're saying from the Ritva. If you take a look at the Rikorkos, which I brought you here, in Yud Daled, He starts out as commenting on Mavrich da da da. Avo pisha begemara amru. He's bothered by the language. I didn't ding you on the language when we read the Gemara Moikatan, but maybe I should have pointed it out. If you go back for a second to source Vav and to what Rava said, avos asa rachmana, toldos lo asa rachmana. Rava said the Torah prohibits avos. It doesn't prohibit toldos. Right? That was Rava's statement. But then he goes on to tell you, the only toldos that you're chayev for are these. You just told me toldos lo asa rachmana. You told me the Torah doesn't prohibit toldos. Not any toldos. But now you're telling me it does. And you're telling me the Torah prohibits avos. Well, there are a lot of avos. But it's not. It's only these. So that's what the Rikorkos points out in source Yadalid. He points out that this apparent contradiction, and he goes on to say, basically, don't use these terms avos and toldos literally. And that's why I say it sounds close to what you're saying from the Ritva. Don't get hung up on avos and toldos. It's sort of what you could call a shem mush'al. It's a borrowed term. These aren't really avos and toldos. These are just four avos, and we're describing the relationship between them insofar as they work for the klal and prat discussion. That really seems to be the way that it works here. However, Rav Moshe Tarragon said something interesting that he said was based on ideas from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, although it was not reviewed by Rav Aaron in the time-honored Gush tradition of quoting him without quoting him. I gave you a reference to the article here in Source Tezvav, Avos Michlaldi Ika Toldos. He asks why it is that we import the idea of Avos and Toldos here when we're not using it the way it's used in Shabbos. And he suggests the following idea, and I gave you the key excerpt here in Tezvav, but I'm going to say it outside because it's a long quote. He says, normally, an Isser, a prohibition, is extrinsically bad. Meaning, the reason why I'm not supposed to fill in the blank, whatever isser you want to make, the reason I'm not supposed to wear shatnez is because God said don't wear shatnez. And therefore, for me to wear shatnez is going against what Hashem said. All the tamei hamitzvos are all very pretty. All the explanations and reasons and lessons and benefits of mitzvos are all very nice. But fundamentally, the reason why you don't do it is because God said don't do it. Right? If you take a look at the beginning of the excerpt in Tetzvav, Ba'open klali asiyas iser asura rak mipnei she'Hashem kava b'Torah shemase zeh asur u'meila asiyaso hi hafaras ritzon Hashem. Hashem said don't do it, therefore don't do it, therefore doing it is a violation of what Hashem said. However, he says, that's not true for certain malachos or certain isurim. When you're dealing with certain prohibitions, there is an intrinsic harm because the transgression carries a greater message. And when that's true, not only is the prohibition itself, the main act, prohibited, but acts that resemble it, toldos, are also prohibited. So if you jump back into the source, he says, if you're looking at the fourth line in source Tezvav, the beginning of the second paragraph, Liumadzot, in contrast, Chilul Shabbos eino rak od avera mini rabot. He says, violating Shabbos isn't just another avera. Chilul Shabbat tuman b'chubo yitzia keneged kedushas haShabbos v'am Yisrael. And yes, I'm going back and forth between Sfarad and Ashkenaz. Why not? He says, violating Shabbos includes within it a demonstration against the sanctity of Shabbos and of Am Yisrael. It's a much greater point. It has special significance, as he goes on to say. And therefore, he says, it's not just about the malacha, it's about the toldos that are like it. Flip the page to the third paragraph. Nimtzaim Kain. If so, we find Shechilul Shabbos eino asa rach mipnei hayosu mugdar kamase iser b'torah. It's not just don't violate Shabbos because God said don't violate Shabbos. El mipnei mashmaut rechava yoser shal pigi'a b'yisodos hayahadus. He says you are acting against fundamentals of Judaism. It's this week's parsha. Hashem created the world. That's what you're commemorating. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the instruction for Shabbos. It's key to our identity. And therefore, he says, in the part I bolded, Mishum Kach, Toldos Hashonos Ma'at Meha Avos Ba'ofen Asiyasam, Achshavos Bitotza Osehen, Tzrichos Liotz Gamhein Asuros. If you have an act that is different in terms of the way it is carried out from the Av, but the result is the same, that's also going to be Usur. Just, Rav Sammy, hang in there. I'm just going to give the Shemitah application, and then I'll take the question. He says the same thing is true for Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is foundational, right, in terms of Judaism. Don't worship idols, right? Have no other gods before me. I am one, and so forth. So there's the Av, and then there's the Tolda that's going to be prohibited. And he says the same thing is true for Shemitah. The same thing, the last part that I brought here in Source Tezvav, Tana Zuyacholola Hayamer Gam Benoseya Shmita Shemitu Erez Batarol Keshabas Lashem. He says the same thing could be said regarding Shemitah, which is described as Shabbat for God. Ubala Dimyon Rav Lishabas Mibchinas Hayosam Mitzvah Hanogat Zakdusha Hazman. He says, like Shabbos, it also has to do with the sanctity of time. And therefore, he says, "Kol maaseh asher totzaaso doma b'tzura mashmautit letotzaos ha'avos ha'asurim b'shmita asur gamhi b'shanazu b'tor tolda." He says, therefore, if you have an act that even resembles the av that's prohibited in terms of its result, that's also going to be prohibited. Now, his main focus in the article is actually not this; it's bava kama. His main focus is nizke mamon and trying to apply this to tort law, which is fascinating and a much longer discussion. I have to be honest and tell you that this looks much more like I saw a set of things and found an idea that might work to sort of fit them than something you would come up with initially. I feel like if that's really true, there are probably other mitzvos in the Torah which should have avos and toldos. Nonetheless, this is what he said. I would also argue that if this is true, let's go back to one of the distinctions between the Shabbos and Shemitah system. This is what you're going to ask your Sammy. Why is it that the default for Shabbos is that it's mutter until the Torah says you're not allowed, and for Shemitah, it's usser until the Torah says it is allowed? They're the same system, according to him. Rav Sammy, that was your point?
Yes, and I don't understand what he says at the end. It's not true. We just said that toldos are not usser on Shvi'is Midoraisa.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Your toldos are really just these two things.
Yes, it's not true at all.
What happened
like,
to all the other toldos?
All the toldos of Shabbos should be Asher and Shvi'is, and they're not. So yeah. It actually is a question on him rather than an answer. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, I liked it because it's pretty. But I think that on a substantive level, I think it's difficult. Okay. The other questions and comments on the Av and Tolda discussion before we move into Zoreya. Okay. Zoreya it is then. What exactly is Zoreya? So, if you take a look at Surah Tezayin, Nederech Emunah, he says the following. Hazareya Bishvias Chayav B'chol Shehu. Hello, Marcos.
Good.
I'm in the middle of teaching a class, though.
Okay, you wanted to say to me something?
No, I just wanted to say hello.
Oh, okay. How's everything, okay?
Thank God, yes.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Okay. So the Derech Emunah of Chaim Kanievsky says, when you're dealing with Zoreya, you're Chayav, take a look at Surah Tezayin, Zoreya Bishvi is Chayav B'kol Shehu. Any minimal amount is already Zoreya. That's not news. That's true for Shabbos also. V'gam Chayav Afilu Lo Hishrish Adayin B'karka. And even if the seeds have not yet taken root, V'amechabes HaZorayim B'chlal Zoreya V'loke, he says covering the seeds with dirt. There are seeds on the ground, and you put dirt on them, that's also Zoreya, and gets Malkos. Vazoreya below Kipui Chayav, but even if you don't put dirt on it, you just drop seeds on the ground, you're already Chayav. Now, I want to come back to the issue of covering them with dirt when we talk about Choresh, because that's going to be part of our discussion then. Mechape, Choresh, the difference, parameters, that's all going to come back to haunt us. But this idea that throwing seeds down on the ground is already Zoreya, and that even if they don't take root, I'm going to be liable, is fascinating. So first of all, overview of Zoreya. Certain malachos of Shabbos, to go with the Shabbos root that's more familiar, certain malachos of Shabbos, I do the malacha. Example, stitching, right? I take two pieces of material, I fix them to each other such that they can't be separated. That's tofer. I did it. But not all malachas of Shabbos work that way. Can you think of a malach of Shabbos in which I actually don't make the change happen directly?
Cooking.
Exactly. I put something on the heat. That didn't do anything to it. Over time, it will make it edible. But I didn't do the transformation. The heat did the transformation. When it comes to planting seeds, which model is planting seeds like? Is it like the cooking model or is it like the stitching model? Sorry? Cooking. It's the cooking model, right? I didn't actually do it. Well, when you're dealing with cooking, there's a very interesting rule. Do you remember the Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos about Chatei Bishvil Shetizke Chaverecha? What happens if I am walking along and I see that somebody put dough in the oven on Shabbos? It's going to bake. I can pull out the dough, violating a derabbanan of Radias Hapas, in order to save him from a deoraisa of baking. So what do? Do I violate a derabbanan to save him from a deoraisa? That's the Gemara in the beginning of Shabbos, like Dav Dalet. But what's interesting about that for our purposes is that there's no liability until the food actually bakes, until the food actually cooks. What about planting seeds? If I put seeds on the ground in Shemitah and they never take root because somebody lifts them and takes them away, did I violate Shemitah? Well, that's not just a Shemitah question. That's a Shabbos question too. What if you throw seeds on the ground? You're eating watermelon and you spit pits down onto the ground. Are you liable if those pits never take root? So the Menachas Chinuch has a classic discussion of this point, which I brought you in source Yud Zayin. He has a problem with the idea that it has to actually take root in order for you to be liable. Tell me something. The case I gave you, the guy who put the food in the oven. He put the food in the oven at noon on the day of Shabbos. Okay? It cooks at 2 p.m. it becomes edible. Or at 1:40 or whatever it is. That's when it becomes edible. Shabbos isn't over for a few hours. So logically, he's liable. What if he puts the food in the oven at 6 o'clock and Shabbos is over at 6:15? Food's not cooked until 7 o'clock. Chayav or Potter? Potter! He's exempt from liability. It didn't cook on Shabbos. It cooked after Shabbos. Don't do this, right? Please don't try this at home. But you didn't violate the daraisa of cooking, baking, whatever it is that you're doing. So the Minchas Chinuch says, that's really interesting. If I put food in the oven on Shabbos and it cooks after Shabbos, I did not violate a daraisa. So tell me something. How are you ever going to be in violation of a daraisa for planting seeds on Shabbos? I mean, I don't care what kind of rapid growth thing you're doing. You're not putting it in the dirt on Shabbos and having it grow roots. That's not happening. And that's his problem. If you take a look at Sorus Yedzayin, he says, V'hine zoreya b'Shabbos v'yom tov havi av malacha. Planting seeds on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's an av. Mavur b'psachim gabi kilei akerem, he says, D'zaru me'ikara enu nasar ala b'hashrasha. B'anu d'nikla ba'aretz, he says, in kilei akerem we say that planting seeds is only carries liability when they take root. And there's a whole discussion there about how long it takes for it to take root. But that's the fundamental point. He says, Im Cain, actually, sorry, I jumped within him. I'm still in the first paragraph, the third line after the ellipsis. Im Cain Efshar Lomer Degam B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov Eino Over Al Hazriya Rakim Nishash B'Karka. Just like for Kilei Akerem, you're only liable when it takes root, so too you can make the argument for Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're only liable once it takes root. V'Eino Chayav Al Ha'asiya Rakim Nishash B'Karka. And you're only liable for having planted in the event that it actually does take root afterwards. But then in the second paragraph, he says, Ach Ze'eino. He says, that can't be. Dimnomar di'ikar hazriya hainu b'hashrasha. If you're going to tell me planting seeds only carries liability when it takes root, imkein imzara b'shabbos v'nishrash achar kach b'chol lo yiyachayev k'mo ofa le'el. So if you plant on Shabbos and it takes root afterwards, you're not liable, just like with baking and cooking. So then he says, I don't understand. Why did you bother listing zoreya in the Mishnah? It's never going to happen. Why is that on the list of the Avos Malacha? Right? It's the Ben Soreru Mora of Avos Malacha. Right? It's just Drosh V'Kabel Sachar. It's never going to happen. So he says that can't be. And he tells you, if you jump down to the third paragraph, Al Kerchach Tzarech Lomar. He says, you're going to have to say D'yesh Chiluk, that there is a difference between the cooking-baking model and the planting model. When you're dealing with cooking and baking, the completion of the cooking, the completion of the baking, that's the act. Putting something in the oven is not an act of cooking it. Making it edible is an act of cooking it. Aval, Lashon Zriya, the part I bolded. Lashon Zriya, the statement of calling something planting, you are a farmer just because you planted, even if nothing grew. That makes me feel good. It doesn't matter what grows. It can all come up weeds. I'm a farmer. That's what he says. He says, that's called Zoreya. Even though we say in the Kilayim discussion that seeds that don't actually take root are like they're sitting in a pot, that makes sense for Kilei Akerem, where the Torah doesn't actually use the term Zariah. That's its own discussion. But he says it's not true here. Here it's called Zoreah once you actually put it in the ground. And therefore, he says, last line in Mechas Chinuch, Imkein Lefizeh, Im Lakat Min Ha'aretz Tekef Achar Hazriah B'Vadai Chayev. He's dealing with Shabbos. He says, so if you put seeds on the ground, and then you pick them up from the ground right afterwards, chayav, darei nigmara malachto bizria lechud ve'alze chiva ha-Torah. Just planting it already counted. Havi kamo kosev u'mochek tekev. It's like if you write, or if you erase, or if you kosev amanas limchok, or you write intending to erase. Doesn't matter, you're liable right away. That's the argument of the Minchas Chinuch. Now, I should note, not everybody agrees with the Minchas Chinuch. I have in my edition of the Minchas Chinuch a little helpful footnote, which tells you to look at the Maram Ibn Chaviv and the Rashash. So I brought you the Rashash here in Sois Yud Ches, who says no. He says it's not true. He says liability for Zoreya is, as I bolded, Kevan Dal Yidei Zriya So Ata Yishare Shacharka Chayav, planting in a way in which it could take root afterwards is the definition of liability. That's the way it works. So keep reading in the Rosh Hash. He says, after where I bolded, just like you're liable for baking or roasting something, even though that happens on its own after your initial activity. If you pick up the seeds after you planted them, but before they take root, you're exempt. What you wanted to have happen didn't happen. He says exactly what the Menchas Chinuch did not accept. And he invokes that discussion about putting this thing in the oven and then somebody else takes it out of the oven. You should know, the Rosh Hash doesn't agree, the Maamrim Chaviv does not agree with this idea. Nonetheless, the Menchas Chinuch, who we now have seen say this regarding Shabbos, says the same thing is true for Shemitah. In Soros Yates, where he's dealing with Shemitah, he says, "Upashut azareya chayev b'kol shu." If you plant, you are liable for any minimal amount, just like with Shabbos. V'chein zuyas kilayim, and then the end of the line there, "V'gam kein chayev afil lo hishrish adayim bekarka kamo gavei Shabbos v'kilayim kamo shekzavti le barichus parshas emor." He says the same rule that we applied for Shemitah for Shabbos is going to apply to Shemitah. You are chayev when it lands on the ground. And the Derech Emunah says, the Chazon Ish was makbid for this. If you take a look at Source Chaf, V'ramu b'shem Maran Zal, shechashash lizrok b'shviyas gar'inei peri l'makom sheyachol lehishtaresh b'adama v'litzmalach. They said the Chazon Ish was careful that he did not throw seeds of fruit on the ground in a place where it could take root in Shemitah. I don't really envision the Chazon Ish throwing seeds on the ground in general. Nonetheless, he was mocked, but not to do it in Shemitah. However, I did have to note one piece that gives me hesitation here, which is, he references for you the halacha and the Shulchan Aruch regarding Shabbos. Let's take a look at that halacha in Source Chaf Aleph. Yeshli zaher mila hashlich zra'im b'makom yuridas geshamim shesofan lahatzmiach. He says you should be careful not to put seeds in a place where the ground, where it's going to rain, because they could sprout on Shabbos. He says, "Shesofan lahatzmiach," because they're going to grow. So it sounds like it's only a concern if they actually sprout. And if you take a look at Source Chaf Beis, look at the Mishnah Brura. Perisha yitzmachu machmas harikuch kedera kol tvuk shenosin osabamayim. They're going to sprout because of the moisture, just like grain does when you put it in water and it softens up the grain. And come on, Sifyud Aleph. Oh, Epshur to Bisman Maruba Yishtarish Bekarka, or maybe because it'll happen over a long period of time. It sounds like there is some kind of link to putting it in a hospitable environment. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong in reading that, but it just seems like an odd source for him to have brought in this conversation. But what we've now established in terms of Zoreya is that you have this view of the Minchas Chinuch, that it's just when it lands on the ground. Now you are already chayev, no matter what happens with it afterwards, with a minority view of the Rosh Hash going back to the Maram Ibn Chaviv. Well, what about if you put the seeds in a hostile medium where they can't grow? Why would you do that? If you're testing seeds to see if they can take root. So what's the halacha then? So that's Yerushalmi in Perek Dalet in Shvius. I cheated and brought you the Rambam's formulation instead in Source Chav Gimel. I should have brought you the actual Yerushalmi. Oh well. But take a look in Source Chav Gimel. He's talking about various acts, some of which we actually mentioned already. In Matzisin Esa Orbi Yishasakanim Ibneshi Abad Eskarka, you're not allowed to burn off old growth. That's called working the land. Ve'im alamdin es hapar lachrosh ala v'chol. That's its own discussion. Ve'in bodkin es hazraim ba'atzitz malay afar. You are not allowed to test seeds. This is seed sprouting that I talked about before. You wanted to know why I took you through all those actions? Here we go. No sprouting seeds in a pot of earth. Ava bodkin osan ba'atzitz malay galalim. But you're allowed to test the seeds in a pot that is filled with glalim, with manure. Manure is not a good planting medium. If you try to plant a seed in manure, it burns the seed. It's no good. You have to be very careful because of the nitrogen and dot, 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 dot. But you can use it just to test the seed to see if it's going to take root. So the Chazon Ish comments on this, and he says, you know, your language of Ein Bodkin, which is the Rishalmi's language, is really interesting. Normally, if you want to say that this is a violation of a deoraisa, you say, habodek whatever, chayav. Ein bodkin doesn't sound like that. It sounds like there is no liability. Maybe this is only a derabanan. Why would it only be a derabanan? So, especially in light of what we've now said, right? Why would this only be a derabanan? So Chazon Ish offers a few different suggestions that I bring you here in Source Chav Dalet. Because it's already 11:25, I'm going to say it outside of the Chazon Ish, but you can see it there. He says, first of all, maybe this is only a case where he's going to remove the seeds within 3 days. He plans to remove it. So therefore, there's no Isser De'oraisa. Second, he says, maybe because it's filled with manure, manure is not a standard planting medium, and therefore, it's not called planting. It's the fact that it's manure and it's a pot that is atzis she'eno nakuv. The Yerushalmi didn't say that. He's saying it. It's a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, connecting it to the ground. So the combination of an unpierced pot and the fact that it's manure is going to allow me to do this. Or alternatively, maybe it's a pot with a hole in it, and the heter is just because it's manure. The difference between the two is he says, if it's a pot without a hole, then maybe I could be makel and use manure, even if it's fine manure, which is more like soil, less of a non-planting medium. Whereas in the event that you're talking about, if you're talking about a pot with a hole in it, then it has to be coarse manure. And then the Chazon Ish says something very interesting, and this is really why I wanted to bring this discussion of the hostile medium. He says, what about the fact that your intent is only to test the seeds? You don't actually plan for it to grow. So his first answer is, yeah, but you might still benefit from the fruit. And therefore, butla daito etzel kaladam, people plant things and they use the fruit. And then he says also, even if you intend to remove the seeds, you might forget to remove them. But then he says two other things. First of all, he says, I don't really care about removal. Once it has a chance to take root, the Isser is done. Just the fact that it had the chance to take root. That was our point that we made from the Menchas Chinuch earlier. He's siding with that position, right? If you take a look in Source Chaf Hei, the line V'chol Zeh, the third line, V'chol Zeh Mabishal Hu T'nai Bizria. This is all if the ripening of the fruit is a condition of the planting. Avalakushta Demilsa Kol Zria Asida Lishtaresh Chashiva Zria. Any planting which could ultimately result in taking root is called planting. V'Isser Kvar Nigmar, and it's already done. Even if it never actually develops roots. So that's the Menchas Chinuch idea that the Chazon Ish is channeling here. So that's one reason to bring this Chazon Ish, is to show you the concept is you plant it in a way that it could take root, that's already enough. But then he adds one other note that I just thought was very, very interesting. And I'm not really sure what he's doing with this point. If we had more time, I would make this a discussion in its own right, but now I'm just calling your attention to it. The last paragraph in Chav Hei, he says, you know what? Your thought doesn't really matter because it's Shemitah. And therefore, whatever grows is Hefker. And therefore, you're not the owner. So your intention of, I am doing this just in order to see whether it'll grow or whatever, doesn't make a difference because you don't own it. And since you don't own it, as he writes, Mato machshavaso bedavar she'eino shelo. It's not yours. I'm not really clear on what he's doing with this idea because you're still the one who planted it. You're the Baal of the Maisa, if you're not the Baal of the plant. So I don't really understand what the Chazon Ish means. And he just sort of throws it in. You know, Rosami, you had mentioned some of the things that frustrate you about the Chazon Ish. He'll say something mind-boggling and he just leaves it there. I don't know what to do, you know, with this point that you're not the owner of the plant. It doesn't matter if you're the owner of the plant. Nonetheless, that's what he says. So to sum up, what I hope are the main takeaways from what we did this morning, besides the discussion of the stages of farming. The avos and toldos are used in different areas in halacha. Principally, we talk about it for Shabbos, as well as Nezikin, as well as we have the example here in Shemitah. But the Shemitah one is very different from the others, different in the terms of the Av-Tolda relationship, separate liability for Av and Tolda in Shemitah, unlike in Shabbos. The fact that in Shemitah, the default is Toldos are prohibited until the Pasuk excludes it, which is the opposite of Shabbos. And the fact that the Av-Tolda pairs are different from the ones that you find regarding Shabbos. So you have the idea of the Rekorkus, which now I know is in the Ritva and Moikatan as well, that, yeah, we're just using the term Av and Tolda, but we don't really mean it. However, Moshe Taragin has this idea that it's the reason we establish Toldos here is because the whole idea of Shemitah is much bigger. It's not just an extrinsic Isser, like many prohibitions, but it's intrinsic because of the value of Shemitah overall in Torah. And then we asked, what is the Zoreya Malacha? So we said that, according to the Menchas Chinuch, the seeds do not need to germinate and take root. They at most need to be in a position where they could, and that's good enough. They're not like baking, they're not like cooking. And then we said, but the Rashash, the Maram Ibn Chaviv, disagree. And then we asked, well, what if you put the seeds in the medium where they can't grow? And the Chazon Ish takes the position, explaining Yerushalmi, like the Menchas Chinuch, that as long as they could grow, that's enough. If you put them in manure where they can't grow, that's a different story. But otherwise, you are indeed liable, with that last odd note at the end, that your intention doesn't really matter in the case where you put them on the ground, because you're not the owner of whatever grows. So thank you very much. I look forward to continuing, God willing, next week with a discussion of kotzer and kotzer to improve the ground, following which we'll go into plowing, which is going to be a major discussion. Thank you very much. Have a great Shabbos.
Great Shabbos. Shabbat shalom.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Pesach, good to see you.
Good to see you, brother. I'm close to you, but I'm far away, Pesach. I'm isolated.
All right, I gotta end this thing so that it can convert the recording. Sorry.
That's good.
He says in the Tower of Shabbat, if he ends up removing the seeds. But what about if he leaves the seeds, it just doesn't end up growing? So the Machshava of having it grow never actually happened, but he didn't do any action.
He didn't do anything to interrupt it. So I would, I mean, did it not grow because it was not?
Meaning his Machshava was started to grow, but for whatever reason it didn't.